Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
What a day yesterday for the LA Lakers. Even more so, what an amazing day for Laker fan. Be real, Laker fan. After yesterday, how many of you are even at work today? How many of you? Any of you? Or are you just driving up and down the 405 and back and forth on the 10, flying those Laker car flags that you brought back out? I mean, I don't even know where to start. Why don't we start with the news that LA dealt Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones, plus a second-round pick in 2022 to the Washington Wizards. Right? Big deal right there. Let's break it all down. Let's get into this right now. Let's break down this trade from all sides. How about we don't get into that? How about we don't do that at all? Because nobody gives a damn what that deal means for the Wizards or how they're either going to rebuild or repair on the fly. It's a trade of three guys who have not made a mark on the league or even had a chance to make a mark on the league. So why do I lead the show with that? Because it's all about what the Lakers received in return. In return for those three players, LA got back the most important thing of all. Cap space. Cap space. In fact, it's so important, why don't we just go full government with it? Salary cap space. Washington also sent some money to New Orleans, effectively making that Anthony Davis trade with New Orleans into a three-team deal now. And you know, Laker fans were partying their brains out last night, well into the night, even this morning over Cap Room. Hell yeah. I half expected Laker fan to go old school with it and start burning stuff. I'm shocked they didn't roll out the parade with Mad Dog losing his mind on stage, because this is huge. Huge. How huge? Twitter dope Magic Johnson probably broke both thumbs knocking this one out. Here's what Irv had to say. Quote, wow, wow, wow. What a trade and a big move by Jeannie and Rob to clear $32 million in cap space. This move puts the Lakers in play for all of the free agents. I can't wait until Sunday. It's going to be exciting. All right, so that's Irv. Irv with three wows and four exclamation points in the same tweet. He even name-checked the guy that he said backstabbed him, Rob Pelinka. That's how big that was. Three wows, four exclamation points, and he name-checked a backstabber. But wait, there's more. It gets even better. Because there was also news that Anthony Davis is agreeing to waive his $4 million trade bonus. Hell yeah! Even more cap space!
Hey,
correction.
Dude, what's good, baby?
What's good, baby? Not just more cap space, max cap space. No, they haven't won jack yet. But Laker fan reacted like they added a couple of more jerseys. That cap space jersey was going right into the rafters next to the cap himself, Kareem. See what I did there? Anyway, how big was that? How big was that? Biggest thing ever if you ask Irv, who at this point has got no shot at ever putting his phone down ever again. Irv went on, quote, Laker Nation, Anthony Davis just showed all of us Laker fans he wants to win a championship by kicking his $4 million trade kicker or waiving it. All right, let me just stop right there for a minute. Do you really think that Anthony Davis would waive that trade kicker if he didn't know that somebody was coming? Just asking. Or maybe he's all in and he's willing to roll the dice. Wait, there's more. LeBron is giving AD his number 23 jersey. What's good, AD? Everything.
AD, what's good, baby?
He's got LeBron's jersey. Yeah, I said LeBron. Freaking James was giving up his number. Now, you know how weird dudes are about their numbers, right? They've got them inked. They buy chains with their numbers. Dudes are weird about their numbers. But LeBron must be in it to win it if he's giving his number to the big fella. What's good, AD?
What's good, baby?
So what number would LeBron rock? Natural thinking was he'd go back to his old number six, right? And then he appeared to confirm that with a tweet, which included a small six and a praying hands emoji. Huge day for Laker fan. Yeah, I know it sucks if you bought a LeBron 23 jersey last year and it was only good for a year. But look at it this way. Give it another year or 2 years, and then it will be really cool and retro. And even better, if you have that old Eddie Jones jersey, now all you need is an A and an M, and now you've got a LeBron number 6. So you can break that thing out. In fact, if you don't mind, spare a thought for Eddie. Eddie had number 6 with the Heat and the Lakers, only to see LeBron come in and rip them both in each city. So let me recap. The Lakers trade 3 players to Washington to clear out cap space. Anthony Davis waives his trade kicker. LeBron gives AD his number. LeBron appears to take Eddie Jones's old number. And all that happens in one day. One day. Best day ever for a Laker fan. But there's more. This from Chris Haynes. And I quote, Toronto Raptors star Kawhi Leonard intends to grant the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers meetings when free agency opens up on June 30th. League sources told Yahoo Sports. And this, that's from Chris Haynes. This from Dirk Nowitzki. Shut it down. Let's go home.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
This from Jim Rome. Carflag Nation, mount the hell up. You know Laker myopia runs rampant. You know Laker fans thinking, build it and they will come. Clear enough cap space and the best two-way player in the game will drop everything to come here. We're the freaking Lakers. Everybody wants to be here. We're the Lakers. Everybody wants to be here. Never mind that prior to LeBron, no one wanted to be here. At least no one that mattered. Just don't waste your time telling that to Laker fan. Laker fans already decided that Laker fan has Kawhi. And Laker fans hyped. At this point, Laker fans are just doing that Jack Nicholson nodding and smiling meme. Have yourself a day, Laker fan. Have yourself a freaking life, Laker fan. And just as Laker fans' head was going to explode, right? If that weren't enough, I mean, that was like 5 of the last off seasons combined. There's another note. My guest next segment, Mark Stein, reports Kyrie Irving remains as much a target for the Lakers as Kawhi Leonard, league sources say. Now that the Lakers are sure they can open up max cap space, they are swinging for the fences, despite all the signals that have pointed Irving to Brooklyn. In other words, it took a Laker fan all of 3 seconds to go from clowning Kyrie and the Celtics to convincing themselves that Kyrie is the greatest player ever and would be a great fit for LeBron and AD. You know, he knows LeBron. He's a quality catch-and-shoot guy. He can score. When LeBron and AD sit, he'll be humbled because he learned the grass is not greener on the other side. Laker fan. Laker fan, you're the best. So now you're going to get either Kawhi or Kyrie. You know, because you're the Lakers. Hey, then again, Laker fan, why stop there? Why settle for that? I mean, you are the Lakers, right? I'm sure it would be easy to convince both Kyrie and Kawhi to take less, share the ball more, and play third and fourth fiddle to the big two. Why? Because you're the freaking Lakers. So the question, do the Lakers go all in and sign a max guy, or do they spread the money around and fill a number of holes? The answer is yes. Do it all. Why? Same reason anybody can do anything. Because they can, and you're the Lakers. All right, so Laker fan, what do you think? Who's coming? What do you do with that money? You've got max space. You know, this is Hollywood. This is not a role player's town. It's a star's town. Me? If you ask me, man, get LeBron and AD a third wheel. Run them all into the ground. Load management be damned. Then start planning your parade, Laker fan. And when that happens... Given the dumpster fire they were like 5 minutes ago, then you go ahead and you give Linda, Jeannie, and Rob their statues in front of Staples. And make sure those 3 statues are right in front of Irv's, Kobe's, and Kareem's. Because if they do pull this off, Linda, Jeannie, and Rob will be way more important than any of those 3. Hey, Laker fan, understand, you haven't won, Jack. You haven't even signed anybody. But don't let that get in the way of your parade or your party. LeBron's changed his number. AD's given money back. Kawhi all of a sudden will meet with the Lakers. Damn. Laker fan, how you feeling right now?
Let me ask you something.
Is there something which is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, grief, self-esteem, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential, and it's so convenient. Get help at your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. And if you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. And best of all, it is a truly affordable option. And right now you can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/Rome. Why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/Rome, simply fill out a questionnaire, and then get matched up with a counselor that you will love. Again, betterhelp.com/Rome. Of course, I'm speaking of Mark Stein. Mark, good to have you back. How are you?
I am good, sir. How's it going?
Good, good, Mark. Listen, it would stand to reason with NBA free agency starting this weekend, Sunday at 6 p.m. I've got to ask you right off the top, Mark, who is the best player in Big West Conference basketball history?
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Best ever. It'd probably be hard to go against LJ.
I thought you might say that. That's why I'm going to go with Brian Shaw. My man,
don't,
Mark Stein.
Don't tell Sabalos.
They have to indulge you and I. We are Big West guys. Anyway, the real thing, thanks for playing along, though. Free agency starts Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Mark, I got to ask, are you going to miss the midnight start, or do you appreciate the fact that it was moved to 6 p.m.?
I do miss it, but I'm a nostalgic old sap. But I, you know what, I just miss writing July 1st. June 30th just doesn't sound right. It's better for everyone. 6 Eastern, 3 where you live, it's going to all unfold in prime time. It's really not practical, to, especially when it falls on a Sunday, to expect people to stay up from 12 to 4 Eastern to follow all this stuff. But I actually will miss the weird charm of that. And I do miss, again, I just do, July 1st, that's synonymous with NBA free agency. June 30th just doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right, doesn't feel right, and I like that 12:01 thing too, normally. Mark Stein joining us. So let's get right into this. You tweeted yesterday, Kyrie Irving remains as much a target for the Lakers as Kawhi Leonard, league sources say. Now the Lakers are sure they can open maximum cap space. They're swinging for the fences, despite all the signals that have pointed Irving to Brooklyn, end quote. So as you point out, the Lakers are pretty much swinging out of their heels right now. How likely, Mark, is it that the Lakers hit the home run that they're trying to hit?
If you're asking me, I don't think they get either one of those guys. If you ask the Lakers, I think they believe that they can get one of those two guys. They're really feeling themselves right now. They found the way to create the max cap room. When I look at it as objectively as I can, I'm Kawhi Leonard. I don't know why he would want to go there, but you continue to hear rumblings that he is looking seriously at the Lakers now, and it's just, to me, why do you want to go play with LeBron and AD? It just doesn't seem to mesh with his personality. And, you know, hey, go join the, you know, go be part of the greatest big three ever in the biggest media market with all the attention. Like, I, you know, as much as we think we know about Kawhi, the math doesn't add up that that would appeal to him. But the Lakers feel that they have a chance. I mean, if you force me to predict, I would say Kawhi stays with the Raptors for at least one more year. I do think the Lakers can muscle their way into the Kyrie discussion and give themselves at least a chance of beating out Brooklyn for Kyrie. But I still think, again, if you said you must make a prediction, I would still think Kyrie stays one year and I'm sorry, Kawhi stays one year and Kyrie ends up with the Nets. I would stick with those predictions for now.
We're talking to Mark Stein. Mark, one more thought about that. In your opinion, is adding a third max player definitely the best move for the Lakers, or does it depend on who that third max player is and maybe is the better play to go after depth and build out the roster?
It would probably be the smarter play to go after depth, but they're not going to do it. I mean, you know, now they've got the cap space. They're going to at least give themselves a chance. Can we convince Kawhi to come? can we still make a run at Kyrie? Would Jimmy Butler consider coming here? I mean, they're going to make all those plays because it's the Lakers. That's what they do. They want stars. And it's risky. I mean, even if they get another max guy, you've got LeBron, AD, max player X, Kuzma, and then a whole roster full of unknowns. And there are so many free agents out there that you might get depth, you might find bargains, or you might find it hard to compete with teams that still have money to pay role players. So it's a lot of unknowns, and LeBron's going to be 35 in December. So, I mean, it is a risky strategy, but I think most teams feel that way. Give me all the stars you can and figure out the rest later. That's the general way teams approach these things, and it's definitely the way the Lakers would.
Mark Stein joining us. You know, interesting you say that, because that's not the way Toronto necessarily approached it. As an example, when you look at the league on the whole, and other people around the league see what Toronto did for the past year, is this notion, this era of the big three over, and as the era of depth, load management, and arrested superstar, has that arrived?
I don't think seeing it happen one time means everyone's going to copy that formula. I mean, a big reason why that formula worked is that Kawhi Leonard is just that good. I mean, he's now done it twice. He put the brakes on Miami's three-peat. He did it to Golden State's three-peat. But this was even, you know, more impressive, because in San Antonio, he was the MVP of that series, but that was still Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. It was still their team. And Kawhi was the best player on the team, but he was not, you know, this was his team. The Raptors completely revolve around Leonard, and he's just that special that it worked. I don't know how many superstars are really on this guy's level that you can say this is a model that we can clone, to use a phrase that you've been known to use.
Thank you, Mark. Well played. Well done. Hey, before you go, I think, you know, Kevin Durant's free agency would be the biggest topic in almost any other year, certainly in any other year. But Kawhi, for the reasons you mentioned, is overpowering that, and Durant's hurt. But how about his free agency? Obviously, there's a lot of interest still yet. What do you think that he is looking for, and how will he approach it?
And that's what's so fascinating about this, is that we've spent all year long saying, we know Durant and Kyrie are going to the Knicks. Oh, wait, no, they're going to the Nets, but they're gone for sure. And we thought we had so much certainty with so many of the top guys, and now we get down to it, and we're basically 48 hours away, and we do not know what Kawhi Leonard's going to do. We do not know what Kevin Durant's going to do. We think we know Kyrie is a Net, but even last night there was some doubt thrown in there. I think Kemba Walker is going to be a Celtic. I think Chris Middleton will stay with Milwaukee, but beyond those few certainties, it's totally up in the air, and in the wake of this injury, Durant has kept things very, very close to the vest. And the reality is, even the teams involved just don't know. You hear a lot of, we hope we're still in it. I mean, that's a sentiment that I hear often.
Mark, finally, what about Jimmy Butler? What do you think he'll do?
I mean, that's an interesting one, too. I mean, there's been all this noise about Houston and the sign and trade. I just don't see that happening. I mean, that's a really complex transaction that the Rockets are trying to pull off, and it all starts with convincing Jimmy Butler to prioritize Houston, and I don't know that that's the way he feels. I mean, from everything I can gather, I think he wants to still be in Philadelphia. The Sixers have been sending these signals for ages that they want to keep their core together and keep both Butler and Tobias Harris. So if you like suspense and you like surprises, stay tuned, because with all the, you know, there's 7-8 top guys, and it can still go in a lot of different directions, which, I mean, it's not good for me, but I think it is good for the audience.
No, it's not great for you, but it's great for everybody else. It's amazing. I mean, it's as deep a class as you'll ever see, and I can't lie, Mark. I mean, there's some kind of different cats, kind of eccentric, a little bit weird. Really quickly, will the Knicks get either Durant or Kyrie? And if they don't, where do they go?
Man, I don't think so at this point. I really don't. They're still in it for Durant, I believe. I don't think Kyrie ends up a Knick. I do think it's Nets or Lakers for Kyrie. The Knicks, if they don't get any of these big names, they're going to try to do short-term deals. I reported earlier this week that giving kind of a fat one-year deal to DeMarcus Cousins, a balloon payment to him, is something they're considering. But look, the Knicks also, they will focus on youth if they don't get stars. And so they're going to have to, what they're weighing is, do we make a big play for DeMarcus just for 1 year to give him a chance to see if he can, get back to his all-star level with us, or do they prioritize more young pieces? Whichever way the Knicks go, though, I think you're going to see them. It's going to be short-term deals and try to maintain their flexibility going forward. But there are going to be a lot of disappointed New Yorkers if that's what happens after they traded Porzingis and created all the cap space. And Jim Dolan told us in March that good things were going to happen in free agency. So Knicks fans have had high expectations for months.
For sure. We are 48 hours out. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter, a Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend, Mark Stein, my guest. Mark, thanks so much. Always good to have you on the show.
Let's catch up soon, man. Sounds good.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day. We'll have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help you out. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We are joined by head baseball coach Tim Corbin. Tim, really nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. Thank you.
It's great to have you, Tim. So I would imagine you've had a little bit of time for this to sink in right now. Let me start you off with this. Every national title, I'm sure, feels special, but how does that second title feel compared to the first?
Well, I'm probably able to process it a little bit more than the first time. Your mind has a chance to go everywhere when you do it that way, but this has been a special group for a lot of different reasons. I mean, you mentioned the record right off the bat, but never really been involved with a mature and consistent group like this. They have, from the start of the season to the end of the season, really kind of maintained themselves and always stayed centered. So we've kind of been the products of a lot of great outcomes. And for that, getting to the end here and finishing the season off, it's certainly been special to see.
Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin joining us. You know, that record is something, Tim, 59-12. Michigan gets you in the first game of the series, which meant that when Kumar Rocker took the mound on Tuesday, he was doing it with the season on the line. Of course, he had done that before against Duke, and all he did was pitch one of the greatest games in college baseball history. Then Tuesday, he strikes out 5 of the first 6, a total of 11 in 6 1/3 innings. Tim, how do you explain a freshman having that level of composure on the biggest stage?
Well, when you see him do it, you realize that he's not. You know, he's one of those kids that just thrives on the competitive environment. And, you know, you talk about some kids who are competitive, but he really pitches for his team. I mean, he's a very protective spirit. And when he gets out there, there's nothing else that's on his mind. He's not really driven by the outcomes. He's just driven by beating the opponent. But I know you had him on a couple weeks ago, and that was nice of you, but he pitched that game and pitched the no-hitter in a very crucial situation, and then had to pitch again in a very crucial situation with our, you know, season on the line. And he did. He got us deep into the ball game, and he just never backs off. He's one of those punchers. He's like Joe Frazier. He's just aiming for you, John. He keeps coming. And for a kid to have those types of abilities and those types of fibers is, that's fun to watch as well.
What a great response. Tim, what do you mean when you say, and I've never heard the phrase, he has a great protective spirit?
It's one of those guys that certain guys play this game and they posture through it and they get through it and they're worried about what they look like and the outcomes of them and individually how they do. This kid's just all about protecting his teammates. And I think when you get a bunch of kids like that, they're driven by, you know, just the protection mode of just doing what they need to do to put their team in a favorable situation. And that's really all he cared about. You know, the Duke game and that game the other night against Michigan, we weren't scoring. And for him just to kind of maintain the opponent and just keep them scoreless for such a long period of time allowed us to kind of play catch-up offensively. And that's who he is. He's not really worried about anything outside of just protecting the group, and those are special feelings to see.
Tim Corbin joining us. Now, Tim, he's a young guy, and I don't want to make it about one guy, especially when the topic is about how he's about the group. But you've had some amazing pitchers in your time at Vanderbilt, guys like David Price, Sonny Gray, Walker Buehler, to name a few. I mean, I hate to even go here, but how does Rocker compare to them?
He fits. You know, he's been in a situation, Jim, and one that those guys haven't been in, and that, well, Buehler has. Buehler's been in the College World Series, and he's pitched some great games, and Walker has a confidence level that is high too, which you need certainly in what he's doing right now. But I would say Rock, he's a little bit different, you know, not to say that he's going to be better than any of those guys, but he's different in how he approaches it. He's got a little bit of Price in him. He's got a little bit of Gray. He's got a little bit of Walker, but he says very little. But he just does what he needs to do. And I think his maturity level in terms of the days in between the games mean as much to him as the games itself. And that's why he has a chance to be special, because once he gets into that environment, he trusts what he does leading up to that moment.
We're talking to Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin. They won the College World Series this year. Now, Tim, when you beat Michigan to win the title, that meant you were going up against Wolverines head coach Eric Bakich, who was your assistant at Vanderbilt. What was it like to face him, and how proud are you of the work that he's done?
Well, we're real with one another. I mean, our families are very close. We're godparents of his kids, and Jiffy's wife is very close with Maggie, my wife. So we've got a lot of connections in between one another. But once we got to the field, then the teams could play. But it was just very enjoyable for both schools and both families to be in that environment and to celebrate the last part of the year. I think we both get over the fact that win or lose, we can go beyond that. But he's just a special guy. And I've always said, Jim, Vanderbilt's not Vanderbilt if it isn't for Eric Bakich, because he's a San Jose guy. He was a junior college kid in California, went to East Carolina, played for a close friend of mine, Keith LeClair, who died of ALS, wears his number, and he just goes about things in the right way. He's all about trying to be a good mentor and teacher to those kids, and because of that, he's put that program, which is so very difficult in the middle part of the country, upper middle part of the country, to be in that game at the end of the year. So, yeah, I'm happy and proud of him. It's certainly kind of a, you know, I had coffee with him the next morning and just said what I needed to say to him. But he's a special guy, and I'll always be thankful for him.
That's cool. Tim Corbin joining us. You know, Tim, Vanderbilt is such a unique university, such a unique place. If we were to go back a little bit, Vanderbilt made the NCAA tournament field just three times in the 20th century, the entire century, and now you're the gold standard in college baseball. I'm curious, Tim, what did you see in the program when you first arrived, and did you know you could build something like this?
No, I didn't think so. But what I saw in the program was so relevant back in 2002, when Stanford and Rice and Notre Dame were doing well in college baseball. And I felt, Jim, that from an academic standpoint, you could get kids that were wired right and that had a high care level for what they're doing. And I thought, you know, if you get guys in here that are mentally attached to what they're doing, both academically and athletically, then they're going to have a teachable spirit. And I just felt that at some point in time, we could grow the program to the level that we grow it here now. I don't know if I could say that. I mean, everyone dreams about it, but those are just dreams. And I think just to be able to build this and get it to where a guy like David Price, who would make a decision to come to Vanderbilt when Vanderbilt wasn't even on his radar, and then Ryan Flaherty and Pedro Alvarez, Sonny Gray, and so on, Mikey Minor. Then you start getting those kids. So, you know, what we did in 2019 is all connected to what we did in 2003, 4, and so on. They're all connected together, and that's, I guess, the consistency is what I'm most proud of.
Tim Corbin joining us for a few more moments. You know, Tim, one of my favorite moments of the past week was when the new basketball coach there, Jerry Stackhouse, who has long been one of my favorites, said this of you, quote, "What Coach Corbin has built over there with baseball is phenomenal. I liken him really to Coach Dean Smith and how he's able to just be a pillar of consistency," end quote. Having talked to Stack for a long time, Tim, I know for a fact he does not just throw around Dean Smith comparisons. What's it mean to hear that from him? And have you spent very much time with Stack yet?
Well, that's high praise, and that's probably out of my lane. But it's very nice of Stack to say that. And, yes, I got Stack going on. I live a mile from campus, and when I park next to him, I have a little Polaris that I drive right through town. And he said, "Dude, where'd you get that Polaris?" And I said, I just got it shot down the street. He goes, "I'm going to get one." He outdoes me. He gets a big white one with big tires, and it can seat about six people. and he parks it right next to mine, like to show me up.
That's
so
awesome. That is so good.
He's a good man. He's a good man. I'm happy he's here. He's going to do some special things, and I can't wait to spend more time with him. But he came out to Omaha. That was very nice of him. He and Derek Mason and James Franklin from Penn State, who we've been very close with them for years.
I think that's awesome. All right, so finally, I'm not going to say that the program needed any validation. Far from it. The work you've done is already proof of that. But does a second title mean that you have officially built something that's going to last for a very long time?
I think the thing that is built to last is just the players who have played here that continue to come back and keep their locker here. I think that's the most meaningful thing. We've just been the recipients of a long list of kids that continue to come back and live inside of Nashville and train here and be a part of it. And, you know, if you win a national championship, you do. But I think the biggest things and the paychecks are all those kids that are coming back, the weddings that we've been able to go to, be invited to, because they don't have to do that, and just all the celebratory moments we have of them having kids and being on the field here. So we're just the recipients of the kids, and my wife and I are very happy to be a part of it, and we love it. Love it every day.
He is the head baseball coach at Vanderbilt. The Vanderbilt to a second College World Series title. Tim, I really appreciate that. I appreciated the interview with Kumar recently as well. Congratulations on an amazing year, and I hope we can do it again soon. That was really fun.
Well, I hope so, too. I'm going to tell you this one last thing. You've provided, and I've been a fan of yours since the late 90s, but you've provided so many good interviews for me to use in our baseball classroom with our kids, whether it's Tillman or whether it's Mark or Eric Weddle, Mark Few, Malcolm Brogdon, Marin, Michigan State. I used that one last year. That was phenomenal. But I just appreciate everything you do because you're the best of the best. You have a high care level for what you do as well, and I'm appreciative of that.
Tim, I cannot tell you how much that means to me. Thank you so much for making a point to say that. And I'll be honest with you, during the interview, I was thinking to myself and actually kind of had a message to my EP, my executive producer. I'm like, this guy is absolutely amazing. I am having so much fun with this conversation. I probably shouldn't admit that in the middle of an interview, but I have to say, sure, in the middle of the interview, I was enjoying that so much. I wanted to say, this guy is absolutely awesome. So, Tim, mutual respect, and I really appreciate you.
Likewise. Thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate it.
Lawrence Guy. Lawrence, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good, man. Bring me up to date. You and I spoke after that Super Bowl win. So how have you been enjoying the last few months as a Super Bowl champion?
Oh, it's been great, you know, just understanding it. And when it hits you about everything you worked for, this came to a win, you know. And that's why we play the game, is to go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. And I think it's experience that in the aftermath of training and going up to OTAs and everything with your teammates and rookies coming in, like, hey, how's that experience to win? And you're like, hey, it's something that you just want to keep going back and doing.
Lawrence Guy joining us. You just mentioned that when it finally hits you, I'm kind of curious, like, you guys received your rings, and you and I have talked about your journey in the past. Is that when it really hit you, when you got the ring, or did it hit you at a different point?
It truly sunk in when I got the ring. The whole leading up to it, we just finished a mini camp day, like, oh, we're going to lead up. We're going to the ring ceremony. Then when you walk up there, it's at Mr. Kraft's house. So you walk up to his house, you go in the back and you see the tents, you see all the sushi all hanging around. You're like, oh man, this is amazing. And you just see the big stage and all the tables, and you see all your old teammates, your old coaches, and everybody that contributed to the win is there, is waiting. Then once you start speaking about the history, and Bill speaks about the history, then they start describing the ring, and they all come out. Like, they all come out two at a time with per server, and they just put them right in front of you. Like, that experience right there is like, man, I can't wait to see what this ring looks like. And when you open up, the little light shines on it. Like, this is something you can't explain. All I could do is, like, I'm going to keep the box, keep the napkin, keep the little the cue card in front of me. I'm just making sure I just cherish the moment.
Dude, what a great description that was. So can you tell me, what does the ring look like? And have you decided, when do you break that bad boy out? How do you wear it? When do you wear it?
Well, I broke it out for my – I just had a son on the 15th, so we did his photo shoot, and I broke it out for there. And I wore it on. I'm not wearing it driving. I was like, man, my finger's pretty heavy on the steering wheel. Like, I don't know, man. I can't be wearing it too much. I might hurt my hand.
So you said you just had a son. What's that been like so far?
A lot of pee. Now, I have a daughter, so that is a little bit different because you got time. You can put a diaper on her. With boys, it's just like, hey, you're amazing. You're great. I'm happy that you're here. Then you get peed on, and it's like, you got to hold that thing back, man.
Lawrence Guy joining us. You can't just be firing away. Is that what you just said?
Yes.
That's what they do, man. Now you know. Now you know. They just fire away when they want. They don't care. That's the beauty of babies, right? They'll humble you. They don't care. We're talking to Lawrence Guy.
They don't care at all.
They don't care at all, and that's what's great about that. All right, so you mentioned also that it was such an amazing experience that you want to get back. Like, one player after another has said that winning a championship does feel amazing, but then it actually motivates you to go win another one because you want to experience that feeling again. Is that how it feels to you? For instance, does winning a Super Bowl feel like the end of a journey, or does it feel like it's just the start of something even better, potentially?
It's just to start something better because, like I said, you're doing everything you can during the off-season, OTAs, mini camps, training camp, regular season to get to the Super Bowl. Once you win, that should never change that state of mind of we need to go back. It's like getting a piece of a good cheesecake. You want to go back and get some more cheesecake. And you can't just get a piece of the pie and just leave it. You have to keep going. And that's how I feel, and I know that's how we feel as a team. Is you can never be full. It's never such thing as I'm not hungry. It's not in our mentality.
Preach. You're not stopping after one piece of cheesecake. I get that. That makes perfect sense to me. Now, I've heard you talk about the brotherhood that is that Patriot locker room. You've been in other locker rooms. I mean, are there different kinds of brotherhoods in all locker rooms, or is this a different locker room? And if so, what makes it different?
You know, there's a brotherhood in every single locker room with every organization there is we all know in this organization, we truly play for each other. And the coaches understand that. So that brotherhood that I talk about is one of those things that it's hard to describe if you're not around it. But if you start looking at the history of the team for the last 19 years, you can understand how deep that brotherhood truly is.
We're talking about once. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's the unique process of itself. Like, we're one of the few teams that if we lose a game, ain't nobody on the radio or doing interviews pointing fingers saying, it was this person, it was that person. You hear it was us as a unit. We all need to get better. We all need to do more to make sure this doesn't happen again. That's the brotherhood that we truly have.
Lawrence Guy, my guest, you know, not only are guys not pointing the finger publicly, but in that game, there's going to be changes in every single locker room, every single offseason. We know this, but it seems like with the Patriots, it doesn't matter when it happens or what happens. They just keep rolling regardless. You have played with other teams in the past. So how do you explain what makes the organization and this team so good and so consistent and, like, impervious to those changes?
Well, it's just how the coaching is and how the mentality is there. Like you said, during games, things are going to happen during the game. You might lose a player. You might have to bring in a player. Like, we lost Patrick Chung in the first quarter. He broke his arm. And you're like, man, that was a big hit. But you know that next person that was going to be up trains just as hard, studies just as hard as him. So it wasn't like, oh, man, we're going to lose this. It's like, no, we know we have faith in the person behind him. And that's how we treat every single season. New players are going to come in. Old players are going to leave. Old players are going to get brought back in. Coaches are going to come and go. It just all depends on how you treat the game. And we treat the game the way it's supposed to be treated. You go in there and you work hard. You train hard. You make sure you study all aspects of it and you talk through everything. If you're not able to talk through something with your coaches or through your teammates, you can never solve any issues that do come up, and we go over above and beyond on the film and in practice. They even talk about scenarios that might never come up, but if they do, we're already prepared for it because we discussed it or we practiced it. And like, this never happened, but what if it does happen? How do we fix it? And that's what makes us such a unique organization itself, because we do that extra work to make sure that we fix what needs to be fixed at that time, or we're going to get it fixed in a later time.
Or you're prepared for it if and when it does break. Patriot defensive lineman Lawrence Guy joining us. You know, you had your high school jersey retired recently at Western High School in Las Vegas. As I mentioned, you and I have talked in the past about your journey, about the learning challenges that you faced growing up. During that visit to the school, you gave a talk where you said, quote, "I failed my junior year, completely failed," end quote. And you had no idea where you were going to go in life and what you were going to do. What was that experience like for you, and what was your message for the kids at the school?
Well, you know, like everybody, like most people like to preach that they didn't have no failures in life, or they have some.
Lawrence, about to get to something really important too. All right, try to pick him up, Adam. See how that goes. And try and reestablish a connection. Lawrence Guy. Well done, Alvin. We're talking to Lawrence Guy. He's 29. He's playing the best ball of his career. 2018 was his best year. He had a really nice season, and they won a world championship. As I mentioned, he was the 233rd pick overall in 2011 out of Arizona State. And I thought that he just laid that out pretty well about what makes the Patriots, and why they're different, why they're unique, why that locker room is different. And then I was going to talk about his background. I don't think that high school question was offensive at all. I don't think that high school question was a tough question. I don't think that was one of those things where Dana White pops that music up when there's a question he doesn't like. That's why we're playing that music. And we have reestablished our connection right now. We are rejoined by Patriots defensive lineman Lawrence Guy. Lawrence, sorry about that. You either dropped or I dropped. But I was asking you, what was it like your junior year? And then what was your message?
Yeah, I have sprint, so it's a hit or miss when I drop. So I just want to throw that out there. Hopefully sprint puts in the more towels out there.
Take that, sprint.
It was just pretty much telling them that if you have a bump in the road, don't drop your head, because the worst thing you could ever do is doubt yourself as a person, and doubt yourself as a person that could get up and keep going. And once you literally, if you doubt yourself one bit, it might be living truth. If you doubt yourself, you'll never give it 100%. You'll never say, "What if I do that?" And I told them straight out, I'm never going to have a "What if I did that? What if I stayed after? What if I didn't go study with that tutor? What if?" I'm like, there is no what if. I'm going to do everything I can in my power, and I'm going to learn on the way up there. And if that doesn't work out, at least I achieved something I knew I was going to be good at, and continue to work something else out, because I'm going to find another passion throughout that process. And I was letting them pretty much know, you might not reach the goal that you want. It might not be possible, but you're going to reach so many more goals on the way up to that major thing that you wanted to do, and that will make you a better person, and it will actually help you grow as an individual.
Listen, my takeaway from that is you have to believe in yourself, or you're not going to give it your best shot. You're not going to go all in. You're not going to try. 100% true. Does it help, obviously, to have somebody believe in you? As an example, you referenced Amy Harris. She was a teacher who was on your side and said that she did believe in you. What kind of an impact did she have on you, and what did it mean to have that belief from her in you?
You know, it's truly heartwarming when you have teachers that truly care. And like I mentioned before, I was in a school where people came for 2 years and left just to put it on their resume. And that's what it was. And like, people come, leave, people come, leave, people come, leave, and they truly don't care. And actually have a teacher that sat there and like, I care about each and every student, and I want everybody to succeed. And actually get you an extra push. And, you know, she was one of many that has helped me, push me along the way. Because, you know, once you fail at something, you completely drop me. Like, what do I do? And you have somebody, you can have your whole support system say whatever they want to say, but that really doesn't go anywhere. But to have somebody at the school seeing how hard you work and making sure you continue to work hard at it, or sitting there like, I'm here for you if you need any questions or if you need any help. That's the best aspect of it itself, because you can truly cherish the joy that they have. And me and her went through many of different discussions and tutoring sessions where she's like, you have it, just keep going with it. And that's what I did. I just kept moving on and taking the support I have through the teachers that helped me and my family to get where I'm at today. And that's pretty much, like, I want everybody to understand that there's always going to be teachers that doubt you. There's always going to be teachers that praise you and going to tell you you're going to do the best thing ever. It's just, don't listen to the people that doubt you. Listen to the people that are helping you out, that want you to move forward.
Lawrence Guy, my guest. Another great message. All right, before you go, summer's here, so we got to hit something really important on the way out the door. Desserts. More specifically, Otter Pops. You made it public recently that there are a lot of names for the Otter Pop, but there's only one true name, and that's the Otter Pop. What are your favorite flavors of Pops?
Yeah, blue. Pink is amazing. Blue and pink. I think I'll put that up for everybody to know. Blue and pink are the best colors. You got orange that nobody really wants, and purple, like, okay, I have purple if I don't have the blue and pink. And I know there's one more. You got red, and red is just like, man, if it's hot, I really don't want the red one, because for some odd reason, like, I get acid reflux with the red one. So, but at the end of the day, it's like, we all have that one that sits in the freezer until we have to rebuy, and that's going to be the orange. When I have only orange left, I have to go rebuy Otter Pops, because I'm like, what am I going to do with it? It's the orange. Nobody likes orange.
Dude, are you telling me that you would throw away the orange? Like, you'd have one left, you'd let it sit there, and then you'd throw it away and just go buy another box and not eat the orange one?
I want to throw it away, but if somebody ever comes to the house and says, hey, can I have an Otter Pop, you won't get the orange one.
Not the blue one, not the pink one.
No, you get an orange. Can I have one? Yeah, take the orange one. You got any other flavors? No, this is all I got for you.
Yo, man, you're my boy, so take the orange one. That's the best one.
I'm telling you.
You know how it is? Like, you know, there are certain reasons to go. You know, like if somebody insults you or your faith or your religion or your lady or spits in your face or says that the orange Otter Pop sucks. Like, you said you don't want to disrespect anybody, but Raven safety Tony Jefferson saw that, and he felt disrespected, didn't he?
He did. A couple people got really upset about these Otter Pops. I'm like, hey, let's just be real. Nobody likes orange. Everybody's okay with purple. Red is cool, but it's blue and pink that everybody loves.
Except for the red gives you acid reflux. Well, okay, you said in the summertime. Like, if you crush a red one in the wintertime, is it better?
Mm. It kind of is, because you got the soothingness of the red one in the wintertime. But on a hot day, do you really want to pull out a red Otter Pop? No, you're like, nah, I'll pull out that. It's like the Starburst. Everybody knows the best Starburst is the pink one.
All right, so the pink Starburst is the best. Where do you come out, like, on Big Sticks and Bomb Pops?
It's been a while.
It's been awkward. Bomb Pops. Now, when I was a kid, Bomb Pops were amazing. Big Sticks were good. I was never a big... Fudgicles were okay. I was never a big...
Fudgicles were okay.
50-50 bars, you remember that?
Yeah, those are okay. I come out like those the ice cream cones with
the drumstick
nuts on top.
The drumstick.
Yeah, now those you got a nice one that probably has a little bit of frostbite on it because it's been in the freezer for a little bit, so it's hard to chew. Those are amazing,
dude. So you were pretty much about that ice cream truck when that thing rolled through the hood. That was a good day, right?
Yeah, it was a great day when it came through. When he came through and like, hey, let me get the Ninja Turtle with the gumball eyes. And let me get an Otter Pop, because Otter Pops were, what, 25 cents, 50 cents back then?
Right. So, brother, like,
nothing. I'm like, here goes $1.50. Let me get both these.
So, what do you, I mean, this is such a great conversation. I don't know why you and I waste time on things like winning the Super Bowl and football. Like, now that you're a world-class athlete, how have you adjusted your diet? Can you still kill any dessert you want, or do you pick your spots?
I pick. I have to pick when I want to and when I can. It's rarely, like, during season, only on victories. That was strictly, and last year it was nothing but a Snickers bar, an ice cream Snickers bar after every victory. I had a little stash that only a couple people knew about. I've never grabbed one. They'd be like, are you eating the Snickers right now? But yeah, I am. It's cool.
Dude.
Like the year before, I was doing like a bite of ice cream here and there. And I was hogging all. Like now it's like I'm over the, I'm on the Otter Pop kit because I'm in Florida right now. It's 94 degrees in humidity.
I was going to say like 200% humidity. Dude, I have to think if you pay the price that you pay physically, mentally, emotionally, and you win a game of the NFL and you get a frozen Snickers bar as like a treat or a victory celebration, dude, that's got to be the greatest thing you've ever eaten.
Oh, it was amazing because you don't eat that whole time during the game, so you're starving at the end of the game. You got like a uterus, and everybody's like, oh, man, congrats. You're like, yeah, congrats. You're like, this is amazing, yeah. And all of a sudden, you come out the back with a Snickers bar, and they're like, where'd you get that? Like, don't worry about this. You got to wait for yours. This is mine. And everybody gets all that little jealousy. You're like, I want one, too. I'm like, maybe next week.
Or, yo, set it up like I set it up. This is my private stash.
I did that with one person.
Who?
I did it with was Gronk. I said, Gronk, man, you look like you need a Snickers. I go to my private stash and went back, got it for him. He's like, yeah, this is what I needed.
Why, dude? Why Gronk? Why Gronk? Like, what if TB12? We know he wouldn't, right? TB12 ain't putting that in his system.
Nah, he ain't putting that in his system. That's just avocado ice cream.
Dude, how about that? Last thought, avocado ice cream. I mean, like, look, I'm not going to argue with the man. I mean, look at the results, right? Whatever he's putting in, whatever he's fueling up with is working. But does that sound like a treat to you, avocado ice cream?
You never had avocado ice cream?
No, nah, dude. I have not. Have you?
Yes.
And?
You ever eat a frozen avocado?
No, not frozen. And I like avocado, but I feel like if I eat an avocado, like I'm super disciplined. Like I'm fueling myself up with clean protein, even though it's like natural fat, good fat. But man, it sure doesn't feel like dessert, an avocado.
Hey, it's a unique taste. I can say that. I'm not a fan. I can't do it every day. I probably won't buy it, but if you have some, and if it's hot outside, I'll take a couple scoops of the avocado ice cream. I'm not going to go buy it, though. That's a unique thing. And I'm like, hey, man, you got the power to do that. This is why I'm a lineman and you're a quarterback.
And why you're TB12.
I'm supposed to be eating junk because I'm a little bigger. It's okay. I understand.
My man, he is a Super Bowl champion coming off his best year, arguably, in the NFL. They open up against Pittsburgh on September 8th. Lawrence, man, I could not be happier for you nor with that conversation. I'm a dessert guy, too, so you keep preaching that, and we'll do it again soon. That was so much fun.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a blast to be on and discussing everything.
I appreciate you, my guy. That was a blast to have you on talking about everything. Lawrence Guy. And now, summer rules. Everything about summer rules. Well, except for one thing. Bugs, insects. They could not be more annoying, and they're everywhere. Flies, fruit flies, you name it. And I had a real issue with it and no solution until I found out about my pals over at Dynatrap. Dynatrap is the leading manufacturer of outdoor mosquito and insect traps. You may have known that, but they've also come up with a solution for indoor pests. The Dynatrap Fly Light. The Dynatrap Fly Light works day and night to attract and trap flies, fruit flies, mosquitoes, other pesky insects. It works. I've got one. I love it. Forget those disgusting fly strips. The Dynatrap Fly Light looks like a subtle nightlight which plugs into any indoor outlet. Trust me, I have caught so many bugs with mine. It's awesome. Get yours right now at Dynatrap.com. That's DynaTrap.com. Dynatrap.com. Make sure to use my promo code Rome and get 15% off any of their products. Promo code Rome at Dynatrap.com. I have mine. Get yours. Dynatrap, the safe, silent, and simple solution to household insect control. Dynatrap.
Was it the right pitch?
Welcome to the jungle.
Welcome to the jungle.
My name is Jim Rome. Great to have you here. Hope you had a good weekend. I know a lot of you want to talk about SmackOff 25. I'm here for it. Let me start with this. NBA free agency billboards. And, of course, they're aimed at Kawhi Leonard. Yeah! Anybody may not be all about the paper. It's probably this guy. But 50 mil is 50 mil. I'm going to take that max contract and stay where I'm worshipped and with an organization that gets me. Chris Haynes, what is your sense as to what's motivating Kawhi?
Happiness, comfort, and trust.
You know, he plays the game to have fun.
Final toast to SmackOff 25.
Rick in Buffalo is so ugly. When he and his wife have sex, she has to close her eyes and pretend he's Tony Kornheiser.
I know everybody else in the field hates hearing it.
My skank mother-in-law even went up for the parade.
But there's a reason why he's the best.
So whack away, clones.
And to be the best.
Oh, Brad can taste his own butt.
You've got to beat the best.
Come.
Didn't I say this? For several weeks leading up to the SmackOff, not all of you were going to get on.
But if anybody thinks that I'm going to call in and cry because I didn't make it to the air, you don't know me very well.
The year before, a SmackOff winner did not get on.
I am putting that crown on my head. If I have to take a baseball bat to the person wearing it, enjoy your last safe day in the jungle, boys.
Maybe someday you'll come on Scopes and let us know the real deal about how you felt about DA's call. Outro!
Stephen Vogt joining us. It is so good to have you back in the jungle. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. I'm so happy to be back on with you. I've been excited about this for about the last week.
Good people is it makes coming to work more fun.
Damn, that's a pretty random observation about him taking a run at a certain player. Rhymes with Irie curving.
Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. You know
what I mean? Oh, that's different. Bro, you're not Billy Martin, and cold cocking reporters is not part of the game.
Hey, you point at me, motherfucker.
I tell you what, dude.
That was Brett Myers back in 07. That exchange is mind-blowing. I could do an entire show on that right now. Robert Klemko joining us again.
You have a guy who's simply masturbating or watching porn at inappropriate times. You can cover that up. And as long as the media doesn't know about it, that's something that you can tolerate.
Will Brinson, my guest. There's been a steady drip of stories about Todd Gurley and his knee.
Todd Gurley is losing 10 to 15 pounds. That basically tells you that he's not comfortable running at his current weight on that knee.
Daryl, make it happen. If anybody can, it's you. And if Butler doesn't want it to happen, it's up to you to convince him that he should want it to happen. I'm already on board. Now make sure that Butler is. Daryl, don't let us down. Oh, yeah. Matt Chapman joining us.
I remember him getting pissed at one of the ball calls. I got down 0-2, and he kept shaking and going back to the heater. Choke up a little bit and get to that heater, and luckily I connected on it.
I've seen dudes like you. You're a dusthead. You're the dude talking to yourself on the bus stop.
And ain't no dust being smoked here, son. Hit me up whenever, bro.
We so big we ain't got to respond.
Legend. This is why everybody loves Bob Lee. Was that great? And you heard him. The CCA ranks at the top of his all-time accomplishments.
This is right at the top.
Damn straight. Congrats to Bob Lee on the CCA and 40 years at ESPN.
I want to come flying out of the acid cruiser car on that parachute that deploys out of nowhere for no reason whenever they cross the finish line.
Email.
Did you just subtly slide in the giraffe next week?
No! This is a chopper!
Getting this message in a bottle and these guys being there at the right time.
Curtis, was there? Did you not bring your carrier pigeon? Again, I want to believe you. I really do. But there are inconsistencies in your story, bro.
There's just a giant 8-hour gap between, hey, we found you, see you tomorrow. I just don't see it.
Wesley Woodyard is my guest.
Damn, great to be back, man. Nobody gives an intro like you. My day's made.
So you played around a dead guy.
We did.
Do not ask what I can do for you. Ask what you can do for me. Bron's changed his number. AD's giving money back. Why all of a sudden we'll meet with the Lakers? Damn. Hey, Laker fan, understand you haven't won, Jack, but don't let that get in the way of your parade. Yeah. Tim Corbin.
And I've been a fan of yours since the late 90s, but you provided so many good interviews for me to use in our baseball classroom with our kids, whether it's Tillman or whether it's Eric Weddle, Mark Few, Malcolm Brogdon. I just appreciate everything you do.
Jim, I'm glad it's on Wisconsin and not Wisconsin on, because whatever it was on would be cross.
Wore the abundance of fire crotch on Justin Turner's face.
Justin Turner having fire crotch on his face. Don't go running that back to him like I said it.
It seems that the DA is trying to partner up with an adult film outfit. It looks like they're going to put it in theaters and call it Jurassic Pork.
Jurassic Pork is not SmackOff worthy.
Welcome to Jurassic
Pork.
There we go.
You know, the SmackOff watch party in Dana Point, that thing was off the rails.
And you know, God hates ugly.
Your mom.
Fight up.
don't fight down.
Hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
I just landed this plane.
Hashtag Dumbo.
Always going to break my stories with you, so thank you so much.
Boom. Hey. Out of here.
A lot of pee.
We're done when I say